Welcome to the party, everybody!
What up?
What's up? Party Nerds is back.
Dang.
We got the squad in the house tonight.
Not the squid odd this time?
No, we got the squad in the house tonight. We got everybody here.
I think he just got tired of me asking what
it
was.
Yeah.
We all over the studio. We all, some in the studio, some outside the studio, some all over the place. I'm in the bathroom. I don't know what they're doing over there, but we everywhere. We everywhere
tonight.
We
don't touch, though, no matter what.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, I do.
It's Jervis here. We got Babs.
Hi there.
The Butcher.
The Butcher.
It's me.
Looking like Freddy Krueger.
Babs rocking that Freddy Krueger shirt.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, so.
She did not know.
You pulled it off.
Thanks.
That's the fire. What's going on? How you feeling?
Oh, good. I mean, I think it takes a full month to recover from New York Comic Con, so I'm back at like level 100 Babs Butcher.
That's only for those that put in that work. You was putting in that work.
My God.
Yes.
It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, even for people who weren't doing cosplay, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it was a good time. Then we got the bearded former Wonder, Bravo.
I still have a beard.
Wait.
That's one is all short now, close cropped.
It's a shelf what it used to be.
You've been watching too much Daredevil.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That is the Matt Murdock you're rocking.
That's like a 6 o'clock shadow, bro.
Okay.
How you feeling, man?
Tired, but otherwise I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm constantly tired. It's like the Hulk. That's my secret.
You close to home now, man.
I am. I'm a lot closer
to
home.
I'm
liking the new house.
3 hours to come up and back to the Party Nerd show.
So much better, man. So much
better. Wait. Now you got in my head. You are Matt Murdock. Why are you not doing that cosplay?
Right.
You look just like him.
Yeah, you can play a blind guy really
all
well.
All this time, Luke Cage
so what you're
Matt.
Saying is if I cover the top half of my face, I look just like him.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And then we get to see the Invisalign, right?
Exactly.
Show that off. Yeah, I like it.
Then
we got AJ.
Hey, yo, what it do?
What's going on, bro?
Yo, I'm living the dream. I didn't finish Daredevil, but I got halfway through. It's great.
It's that fire, right?
It's that good. That good. Yeah, and aside from that, I'm just living life, you know, working hard, you know.
That's that young boy life.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
Young boy. AJ, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, God. I don't even remember my
25.
Underwear
older than you, bro.
That's gross.
The truth.
No, aren't we? We're all 25. We're all in party shape.
You know what? I got tired of aging after I was 28. I'm like, I'm done with...
Agent, you're just staying at 28?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 29, so...
And then we got Darnell. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
Hey, look, I'm ready to talk about Daredevil. I got so much to say.
Jorge on the IG feed, live. What's going on, Jorge?
What up?
And then we got that dude! Devin Wade.
Yo, man, why you always gotta say my shit like that?
Womp womp.
Would you prefer
like,
Darnell to do an impression of you?
Oh, yeah. Fat Butts or some dumb shit.
Yo, we're on the Fat Butts, dog.
What's going on, Dad?
It's like so inaccurate. Nah, man, I'm chilling, man. I'm busy as fuck. But we over here today, man. The new studio, we in here.
And we got James, and we got Nikki, and we got your boy Ed. Somewhere around here,
Jared,
too.
Can I say something before we get started? Bravo, show that picture. So we actually have a good friend of ours from social media named Chad. He turned us all into cartoon characters, and when I tell you, it is brilliant. You guys, it is absolutely brilliant. Make sure you guys check him out. Chad, we're going to be doing posts about it, but Bravo looks just like Bravo. I mean, he was eating a pizza before he walked in his room. Mm. That's how spot on that was.
Who the fuck was eating pizza? What the fuck did we get pizza?
You know Darnell just lying about this.
Really? Shout out to Aiden Sand Beer Company, our favorite sponsor. Yeah, I said it.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah, I said it like that. I said it.
Oh, I don't know. We have another sponsor.
Oh.
GoodChef.us. They're my favorite sponsor.
Oh, so they just.
Because they give us food.
Wait. It's Green Chef.
Did you say Good Chef?
Green Chef.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're Good Chefs, but it's a Green Chef. You're making up.
I did Darnell's mistake for.
What we said we weren't going to do, we just did.
No, I did it for Darnell.
But seriously, like Green Chef, they actually gave us food and. It's going to be amazing because after the show, we're going to cook it up. Because one thing the party nerds all agree on, we argue about a lot, we love to eat. Mm-hmm. So we cannot wait to. What kind of food do they give us out there?
Curry pork patties.
Ooh. Oh, man. I can't wait. So we have something to look forward to.
We'll get more into them later.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Later. But right now, we got to talk Daredevil season 3 just dropped this past weekend on Netflix. There was a lot of good buzz about it. Me and AJ, when we were up in New York at the Comic Con, we went to the Daredevil panel and we saw some clips. From the season, saw some fight scenes. They talked a lot of good stuff about it. And they said they had one fight scene in there that would blow seasons one and seasons two hallway scenes away. And me and AJ were like, get out of here!
Apparently, no, me and James actually saw more scenes than what was in the Daredevil one, because we saw it at the X-Men comic one for some reason. But we actually apparently saw more than you guys.
Fuck out of here.
Really?
According to the Marvel executives.
Well, we actually got to see the actors and the writers and everything.
That is true.
So, like, you know, six in one hand, like, you know, 24 in the other.
There
so.
You go. Tell the boy, AJ.
I don't know. I also got a variant Deadpool comic.
Okay, you got
that
me.
That goes with my my Deadpool cereal that I bought. Fuck
what
Flakes.
What you got? What else? What else?
I got Daredevil season 3. I don't need anything.
He has some chicken.
You only got half the season. Like, we really could just spoil you right now. Just ruin your whole life.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
He got a rare Pokemon card, and he's very happy about that.
If you spoil this.
Yo, we about to spoil this shit. Yo, I'll just say this. For me, this season was absolutely incredible. The fight scenes, the acting, the story, the characters, cinematography, the directors. This thing was just great.
It was great, man. The Luke Cage great. Cameo surprise at the end.
Did you see that
in
coming?
The world. I did not see that coming.
And they actually killed Kingpin. He died. Yeah,
it was the greatest.
I'm sorry, AJ.
We're making up.
I was about to be like,
what the fuck did I miss? I was like, I know they said Jessica Jones, but that's it.
Nah, press the asshole button.
Like, aw.
Just let you guys know, listening, AJ hasn't finished the series, so.
In general, like, not everyone can watch 13 hours of television, like, over the course of one week, and we all have
don't
lives.
Sleep, bro.
So, like, no,
one
that's
weekend.
How I do it. I
first,
don't sleep. I get
first
it in
half
until
of the
show.
Watch it over one weekend. I watched it over happen. Today.
First half of the show. No, I watched it all half the show.
So let's talk about Daredevil, Matt Murdock. I personally was kind of annoyed with him the first two seasons, just because he whined a lot about this no killing thing, especially season two with the Punisher. I was kind of getting fed up about that. Yeah, I was getting, like, every scene is, don't kill, don't kill. I'm like, all right, bro, you said it one time, we got to hear it again. He wasn't whining like that. He had a different story arc.
He was absolutely whining.
No, I say he was whining, but not like
the nun,
that.
The
not
nun was
the
constantly saying, I know self-pity when I right. see it.
But
and that's what he was doing.
In other words, Babs is saying you're wrong.
You know, it was the same whining of not killing people. That was getting old to me.
Oh, okay.
So it's a fresh whining, like you were saying. This is a different type of whining.
He was whining.
It was a higher quality whine.
I'm telling you, this is way better. Way, way better. So, Deb, what did you think about Matt Murdock and Daredevil, their character?
I honestly thought that, one, I just want to say this is the best season I've ever seen. I'm scared as hell to tell shit because AJ's in the room and I'm like, I don't
want to
ruin.
Do you want me to just give my opinion and then I'll leave and then you guys can do whatever the fuck you want?
You know what?
Yeah, no, yes, and tag team, yeah, when you leave.
So we could kick him the fuck
James,
out.
Tag team James in here because he saw it.
He saw it. Okay, yeah, okay, so this is what we'll do. All right, so.
Then I'm leaving too?
No.
I mean, it depends.
No, you're staying around with us.
If you're okay with spoils.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right, just let's get it.
Yeah, you see, I'm trying to enjoy the show. So, like, in a nutshell, the main thing that it's a very well balanced show. There are a lot of shows where it's like, oh, these two storylines are great, but this third one's like really weak, or like they have like really great storylines, but they're all kind of separate in its own thing. Like early Game of Thrones, or like, you know, things going in completely different continents that right. have some underlying themes. The one thing with this show is that it's really well balanced in the sense that everything kind of ties into each other, to the point that one person's story completely affects another person's story. And what one person does, even though they might not realize it, might have a complete and utter negative reaction with another character. Like, even things like, you know, an episode, I think it was like 4, actually, Matt Murdock stole Foggy's ID badge to get into the prison.
Right.
And then that came back and bit him in the ass
when the
Kingpin tried to throw him under the bus. And it's funny how, like, all these, like, little threats kind of intertwine with each other. And also, like, they're all dealing with traumas of the past. Like, every single character in this show is, like, a deeply broken individual. And the way the show handles that, they handle it well. They handle it with grace and tact in a way that's believable. It's not believable that someone can throw, like, a pen halfway across the room and then kill someone through their cranium. Like, that's not really realistically possible. But, you know, minor suspension of disbelief aside, the emotions and the thought behind it is just, like, so well-paced that you can't help but be engaged by it. And that combined with just, like, you know, great action, characters we've already grown to love over the next last couple of years, and just overall
cinematography. Well, AJ, let me ask you a question before you late. So what is the difference between, like, this season of Daredevil and, like, let's say Iron Fist? Like, what is it that Daredevil season 3 is doing right in your eyes?
Man, you shouldn't even compare it to Iron Fist to any of that.
I know, no, man.
The reason I'm saying that, so we can be like, what is it these other shows aren't, what is it that this show is doing right? So if you ask me the question, honestly, I think it has to do with character development. I think it has to do with like the whole, when at the beginning of the show, you see pretty much Matt lost Elektra. He lost his faith. He's just like, you know what? I'm just tired of being a good guy. And we've all reached those points in our life where we just have the breaking point. We're like, you know what? I'm not doing the right thing anymore. But, you know, eventually as the show goes on, you know, that might change possibly.
He didn't seem like he wasn't doing the right thing anymore. He just seemed like he wasn't on no church shit.
Well, see, that's the funny thing is I'm a agnostic atheist, and I get very tired when I see any type of religion beaten into it. This didn't make me feel that way. And it was a deep, deep theme about it. But I was more interested in seeing it. Like, I'm not.
It wasn't preachy.
Right. And I'm not intolerant of it. I actually think that there's a lot of good that religion's done. I think that there's a lot that can be done story-wise and everything like that. And I really, really did enjoy the entire perspective of it because it is a big part of Matt Murdock's life. I mean, we see the whole counterpart of, you know, him being the devil of Hell's Kitchen. And then, as Bullseye's dressed up as Daredevil, wandering around as him, he's seen that part.
I'm scared.
Nah, he's seen it with episode 6.
But yeah, like we're seeing all of that going on, and we're seeing like a little bit of dichotomy going on with Matt losing his faith and actually seeing somebody dressed as a devil being an evil version of him.
Right, right. Oh, we have a caller on the line, right?
Yeah,
and I'm out.
Caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello? Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Austin from Las Vegas.
What's up, Austin?
We've had him before.
Yo.
So what do you want to talk about tonight?
What's it called? Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
What about
And their cancellation.
All right, so what do you think about that?
See, well, I think it's a smart move by Netflix, you know. I think they're going to bring in Heroes for Hire. And Netflix is going to cancel the show, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, and kind of save money and bring them in, if that makes sense. And so I think they'll get more viewers from Iron Fist and Luke Cage. And they'll bring them together. Plus, you see how good the audience is reacting to the interaction between Luke Cage and Iron Fist when they collab together to take down, Bushmaster. And there was such a good reaction from the audience, kind of like how the audience reacted very well to Punisher and Daredevil. I think it was a smart move. They're saving money by canceling the two shows and bringing them together. So that way, one, they can make more money because more viewers are going to be like, oh, crap, I saw these people on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, and they're going to want to buy Netflix. And plus, they can stop production on those shows and possibly make better sets and action parts. So I think that was a very smart move of them, but I think it's stupid that they're just waiting a week or two to announce that they're doing all this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see where somebody might think that. I think that the shows are fucking over. I think it's done. Thanks for your call, by the way. Taylor,
Austin, thank you for your call,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah,
thank you,
I think that it doesn't have anything to do with that shit at all, you know, but we're going to find out. I actually think that the show is gone as far as Iron Fist because it sucks.
Are you saying gone forever?
Yeah, it sucks dicks.
Even Luke?
Let's
talk about Luke now.
I'm not sure about that.
Luke is done too. I think what they'll do
is he's done.
His show is done. Yes, they've canceled it. They've canceled Luke Cage.
But it doesn't mean they can't.
Of
course, doesn't mean they can't re.
We're gonna get more into that.
Open it again.
Yeah,
but not on Netflix.
We're gonna still,
Roseanne came
we're
back
gonna
on,
still
son.
Talk.
Oh shit!
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, bro.
We're gonna still talk a little bit about Daredevil, though. So I know we were interested about the fight scenes. Now, the fight scenes, the choreography that's been going on with Daredevil is phenomenal. The like, As somebody that has a big martial arts background, I know we always, I always talk about all of these different shows and how they do well with their fighting.
Daredevil is beyond,
it's ridiculous.
Second to none.
It is,
as far as their martial arts choreography.
They show a great version of.
But the fact that their cinematographers are also just as elite.
Right, because if we learn anything from Iron Fist, you can have great martial arts choreography, but if you don't pair that with a couple of other factors,
you're
going to get canceled.
Right.
What Iron Fist had good choreography?
It was true.
What Iron Fist had good choreography?
Colleen
Wing in the parking lot, I timed every fucking thing. I knew where all them goddamn kicks was coming from. If I was a bad guy fighting Colleen Wing, I would know what she was coming from.
The difference is when I watched the fighting scenes on this season, it looked like if you were in a fight. Like, literally how he was holding his hands, elbows in. Like, whereas if you looked at
they figured out with all of the different characters how they have advantages in their different fighting. Like Bullseye, for example, every single time he tried to get some distance, right. So he could throw. And Daredevil, and you could see the desperation in the fight of I need to stay close.
Because I was going to be pissed off, man. I watched that shit with my mom. Yeah, I went to my mom's crib on Sunday. I was surprised that she paid attention to the whole show and was into it pretty much instantly. And she was like, so just because he can throw stuff fast, he's going to be able to fight with him. And then we saw that he was getting his ass whooped unless he could throw something at him. And it made it make sense instantly. It was fucking dope.
Yo, it was so good.
Wait, did you guys like Bullseye?
I love his character.
Oh, okay. He's a
I love his character.
First of all, he was developed so well because when you first saw him, you kind of liked him. And then in time, you're like, yo, he has issues. When they start showing him with his therapist back in the day,
it did make me question why he was hired as an FBI agent. Like, right? That they didn't do any background
screening. You don't pass background screening.
That part, I was just like,
that was a big fucking drop. I got homie.
I was actually really I have not finished this season. I was disappointed because I was watching it with someone and we were like, that's not Bullseye. That's not Bullseye. Nadim is going to be Bullseye. And they're stringing you along to think it's actually this white guy, but it's actually Nadim.
They were going to pull Gotham.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do. And I, as soon as I saw it's Bullseye, I was actually disappointed. Because I like Nadim a lot.
No, we got to talk about
Nadim's character.
Especially where he ends up. But we got another caller. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Wow, this is the first for me.
Wow. Hi, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Hello? Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie, where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Hi, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about how the cancellation of Luke Cage and Iron Fist is going to affect the other shows.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Well, as most of the internet probably guessed, is that the cancellation of the other shows cancellation of Luke Cage and Iron Fist is leading to a Heroes for Hire show.
I mean, that was kind of like what the last caller kind of was thinking, that it was going to lead to the Heroes for Hire
show. But the joke's going to be on you because that ain't happening.
Wait.
It's over.
It's over. It's done. They're done.
No, wait.
They're going to bring him into other shows. Maybe he's a cameo, but that's it.
Listen, I think that Luke Cage show will come back if they have this damn, streaming network or whatever. I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that shit is done on.
Let me say something, because this is something we were going to say for later. But I really feel that by these shows getting quote unquote canceled, they now leave these characters now be open for maybe the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Bro.
No. Listen, think
that's
about it. Aside from that, they would have to work out some type of an arrangement with Netflix now that there's no strings attached. Maybe they just want to loosen it. I'm telling you, if Daredevil gets canceled, then what are you going to say?
Listen, they could have did that before.
If they canceled Daredevil.
Or Jessica Jones.
Or Jessica Jones, then at that point, you got to see. Because Luke
Cage. I feel
Cage,
like they're going to go to their
but
own
Luke
streaming
Cage,
network.
Like, Luke Cage season one was one of the highest rated shows on Netflix.
Yeah, but not season two.
But it, no, season two still get. There's some shows on Netflix that have been on for like five seasons.
Wait, that matter. That has nothing to do with
Deb,
other
what were
shows.
You saying? Their own streaming network?
Right.
Disney. Disney, yes.
Disney's own. Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
But that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it at all. Marvel was making so much money off these Netflix shows because they were doing 13 episodes and things like that. Netflix is losing money because at first they had nothing. They had no original programming like that to put on. That's why they jumped on the Marvel.
You're saying they're losing money off of... No, that's just false information.
Marvel made so much money off of that, but Netflix... Yeah.
There's no reason for them to cancel. First of all, they're announcing, they're saying it was creative differences. That's total bullshit. There's more going on to this. There's more going on to this than the ratings.
I just don't think it has to do with... I really don't give a fuck about seeing Luke Cage in the Avengers
movie. It's not putting him in the Avengers. It's not... They're about to get the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. They don't need...
They got new
street level heroes out here. Yeah. They don't need that.
People fighting fucking barbers and shit like that. Like if Luke Cage, like they fighting fucking TSA agents that we could beat up. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll beat these dudes the fuck up.
Is Ronnie from Long Island still on?
Nah, it's over.
No, okay. Well, thank you for calling.
Nah, it's over, Ronnie. We hollered.
Our bad, Ronnie.
What's up, baby?
I was being quiet.
Our
so this,
bad, Ronnie. We got
so
we got to
speak.
Do it.
Nah, I think Taylor hit the bang button. Yeah, I think Taylor hit the shebang
on. Thank you for calling anyway.
Yeah, look, they're not going to the fucking cinematic universe, dog. Yeah, we do not want to see them rumbling.
Let's jump back into Daredevil, man. Fuck all that bullshit.
Yeah, fuck them.
Look, the one thing I didn't like about Daredevil was the Karen Page episode.
Thank you!
No.
I personally didn't need to see her whole... Look, I already knew she, from what she was saying, she had killed her brother. I didn't need to know how.
I didn't mind seeing it. I think they dragged it on.
I didn't need a whole episode.
Too long.
Wait, yeah, I need a whole episode on
you
that.
You didn't like to see that she was bouted as soon as she like, turned on that
yo,
episode?
She was walling, doing the shots
from
ice.
I like that part of it. Karen Page was like, if I knew Karen in college, that shit would have been on.
I think it lasted way too long.
Yeah, that episode so just it was
which episode is that? What? Is that that's later on?
Well, episode is named Karen, and the thing
it's
is, you only got
11.
That backstory for 20 minutes of
do
that
you know,
episode.
So the actress is Deborah Ann Woll,
yes.
I think,
and her husband
True
is
Blood.
Actually blind.
Yes,
yes.
So and she has gotten so much hate, and I have to say, I thought
hate
of Karen.
For what?
As her character.
Oh, I don't think she deserves the hate.
She doesn't deserve the hate.
No.
She was actually the person when we did a couple episodes back the female power episode. I thought of her because there's so much hate on that character. And yeah, maybe it wasn't developed well in the first two seasons.
Right.
Maybe. But we gotta stop hating on women so easily. We give men so much crap.
Well, no, here's the thing. Here's
the
difference.
Character.
No, here's the difference. Is she had a full episode and a half all about her background.
No, it was 20 minutes.
No. She had that full... It was pretty much that entire episode.
Because they switched off. It went right to
but
Kingpin after
the whole no, the whole episode beforehand, they were talking about for that entire time, too. Now, on top of that, then you have Foggy, and his entire family's involved in this entire
thing. Wait, his whole family looks
like him.
He
gets a 5-minute...
His whole family looks just like him, though. They all have big heads.
Right. He gets a 5-minute like talk about it, and like we get this dinner scene, which is all cool and all, but then like Karen gets all of that moment, and it's just, listen, I think it was good for them to put that story in there. I think that the episode was good.
I say that
it dragged on.
I agree with
for too long, and it started to become.
Do I agree that it dragged on?
It started to become Felicity and Friends. That's what it reminded me of.
I do not disagree with you there that they probably lengthened the time in there, but the thing is, she's also a character in these comic books where there have been links in the chain where it's Claire Temple,
right.
Karen Page,
and listen, I'm all for each of the minor characters getting
correct.
A good amount of development.
And Karen has also
but at the
been
end of the day, I'm watching Daredevil.
Right.
Mm. What I want is Daredevil. If you want
but
to do a little
Karen,
minor
no,
character
no, bro,
development,
Karen,
it's fine.
But Karen is doing so much within the storyline. Mm-hmm.
So is Foggy.
I know. Yeah, but Foggy doesn't come from
the
same
in
fucked
the comics,
up background.
They
her
do the
background
same thing.
As well. Like, we found out she's sniffing coke.
Here's the other.
The reason they understand why they put that scene in there because her life was in danger. They wanted you to realize that. look, this character may not be around, which we don't, you know what I mean? So I think that's why they put it there. They wanted you to care. You know what I mean? And
I cared. I just think it was a little.
Because we got
much.
A lot of Claire Temple, and now she's gone. So thank you, Jesus.
Well, so here's the other thing that we tend to forget is the business side of it. Mm-hmm. And I can't pretend to know everything on the side of television production. But remember contracts. This is something that people forget all the time because they think that people who are making these Marvel TV shows are all about the art. And we have to represent the comics perfectly or, you know, adapt it perfectly. It's
or
contracts.
As I would like them.
Yes.
Look at what happened with the Aladdin movie.
This woman has a contract where she needs to be on screen. She is contracted to be on screen for this amount of time.
This is true.
She's right.
And so they have to fit that in, whether or not you like it, whether or not it drags on. You have to do it.
From a huge show. She
but even
from,
so, I can still point. Criticize how they true. Did it.
Hold on, we got a caller on the line once again. Caller, you're live on air. I guess they probably Hello? Banged on this.
Oh.
Hey, what's going on, caller? What's your name?
What up?
What's your name?
I had a question about Punisher.
What was that?
Punisher.
Well, what about Punisher? What's your question?
Why would they kill like his family? Like what?
You got to read the comics, bro. Go back and read the comics. You'll see why they did all that stuff. All right.
Thank you for calling. Next caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? You're live with the Party Punisher, Nerds.
But a little bit more detailed than just saying Punisher.
Man, he's coming. Hold on, we can't.
Fans banging on fans.
Yeah, we can't have caller wars. Oh,
no, yeah, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
What's God, going on, brother? What's your
honestly,
question?
It's my favorite. It's my favorite show. But I was wondering what you guys think about the ending, thinking about where it could go from there.
How far we can reach beyond this, beyond the final episode, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm like thinking like maybe to connect to what's going on now with the other stuff. And it'd be really interesting, like characters like, I don't know.
So if...
Bullseye versus Punisher. So he was very
yeah. If we're talking about just like the accuracy of coming in, what could possibly happen? Kingpin is going to, of course, form an underground syndicate. That's going to be A-OK numero uno. He's going to work from the shadows. He already knows that his woman is in play now. So if he comes across even slightly fucked up, Daredevil going to murk his girl. That's A-OK going to happen. So he's got to keep her at bay. But the thing is, he's got to continue to get his dough. So he's going to work on the underground, which is where you generally see him in the comics, where he's become antagonist for Punisher, for Spider-Man, for Daredevil. And then you've also saw that ending credit scene where with Bullseye, where his spine becomes infused. Now, in the comics, it's infused with animanium. Of course, you didn't see that in the Netflix series because they can't say animanium because that Fox contract ain't up yet. But it's getting fused to where he's going to basically be the end all be all. He's not going to even feel pain anymore. His nerve endings are going to go to shit. So in that point, when he does become a villain, he's not going to feel any of this shit. Like any type of fighting scenes with him, he's not going to feel anything anymore. But he's going to be that more potent when that surgery's done. The fact that they were doing the surgery on him was like the best part for me. Because mm-hmm. that just shows that this dude is going to be back better than ever.
Okay. So that was a perfect fucking answer. Are we done with the callers right now? All right, man. So, what's next on the motherfucking docket, Jerk? You look at Jerk, Jerk. You staring like a motherfucking...
Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Listen, y'all motherfuckers is wild out tonight.
Who?
All right, let's go.
Who's wild?
No, let's dig in. Let's dig in, Devin Wade. All right. Let's dig in.
What are we digging in about, man?
Let's talk about Kingpin.
Fucking phenomenal villain.
All right. For one, I love the fact that he's even like in this goddamn show. The fact that he is the greatest probably Netflix villain that we do have.
I don't know about that.
You, 100%. Who you claiming? Bushmaster?
Purple Man.
You giving it the, Purple Man was playing mind games. He's not the greatest Netflix villain.
Purple was scary on a different level, man.
Because he make you do shit.
Yeah. Purple was perverted.
But I'm talking about Kingpin's physicality, man.
Purple's a rapist, my dude. Like, that's scary. He's a rapist, man.
Purple Man had motherfuckers doing shit that you even know they was under his control. All of a sudden, like when she's killed her parents in the elevator, you thought she was all cool.
Purple Man could make you kiss Bravo right in the mouth. That's scary, dog.
Dev, tell me how you really feel.
I'm saying from an opposing level.
Why do I feel like Devin's been sitting at home what would Purple Man? He'd probably make me kiss Bravo. I hope he doesn't make me kiss Bravo.
That's the worst mind control I've ever heard in my life. I'm saying this from intimidation factor because Kingpin gets in your face.
You can shoot Kingpin and be cool with it.
Yeah, you can shoot Kingpin.
Well, not only that.
But the thing is, he got shanked twice, and he still came at your ass.
Nah, he got baby shanked.
And
he throw them two goddamn blades in the ass.
Yo, listen, blood is blood,
with
man.
With Kingpin, this is more of the bigger problem, is you don't know who works for him.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, it's honest people, it's evil people, it's people that want to do crime, it's people that are being coerced, it's people that aren't sure where they fall, it's people that you should be feeling you trust, it's your family.
You don't know if you work for them.
Right? He is the same.
The thing is, his family was talking about that loan that they did. They didn't know that it was Kingpin that had that.
Red Lion Group.
Right.
He legit has the same amount of influence that as Purple does. He has the same amount of influence because you don't know who's working for him. You don't know who's going to do what. Like when people are killing themselves, saying his name, like in the beginning of Daredevil, it's like literally he has the same amount of influence. I think that's what makes it scary.
It's in your face. That
freaks me out more.
It made Felix Manning fucking scary.
It was also
because Felix Manning knew all your shit. Knew your fucking credit score.
Right.
He knew your address.
But also, he was always.
He knew who your baby mom was.
He was always.
I was like, this motherfucker's evil as hell, son.
He was always five steps ahead.
Right.
So, whatever you thought of, that was what was so surprising to me. How he was just two steps ahead of Matt. Matt was like, yo, I got the plan. I'm about to bust this out. And oh, shit. He did me dirty again. He's two steps ahead. To the point, Matt was like, yo. The only way to stop this motherfucker is to kill him. Like, that's it. I can't even get ahead of him.
That's the crazy thing.
I have to kill him.
That's the crazy thing about Kingpin. He matched his brawn with his intellect. Yeah, he started the series with his strength, with the weights and everything else. But throughout the rest of the series, you just saw how his mind worked.
And how the fuck he got out of prison. I have to get shanked in order to get out of here.
So or how to manipulate Dex as well.
And that's what I wanted to touch on.
And how long he did it.
Speak
and how long he did it.
So
it wasn't like, oh, I met Dex.
Kill Julie. Hold on, wait.
So first, this dude, the way that Netflix cinematography was, just like the idea of how they showed it artistically, when he read his file, when he read his psychological profile,
and
he would imagine and see all the things that happened with him ricocheting the baseball, hitting his coach. His coach was a rider for him. His coach wanted the best for him, was like a dad to this kid, and over one little thing,
he took him out of the game.
Yeah. And he said the perfect line to him, I'll never leave you.
It was crazy.
And you know what's even best about that? Basically, Benjamin Poindexter was an all-star baseball player in the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Bullseye's character. That was like end all to be all for me.
So showing he had his North Star, which was basically what we're going to get to with Kingpin taking a certain position. His North Star at one point was his therapist. We're talking about Dex.
Suicide Prevention Hotline.
No,
therapist. The therapist.
I'm sorry. So he had this lady that was his foundation of being a good person in a sense, right? And then when she passed away, he found that in the woman that was, you know, working at the suicide prevention place, right?
Right.
And then once he left there, he was stalking her. We didn't know why he was like looking at this girl through his like little spyglass and shit. Like, what the fuck is going on? This is baby mom. Like, what's popping? But to see that Kingpin was able to find out who his North Star was, his anchor, and take her out and replace her
with himself.
Was fucking crazy. And the way they bodied her, bro, I haven't felt that way about a murder in a movie since Leonardo DiCaprio stepped off the elevator.
Although the truck scene, when he has her in the truck.
Oh, man, he had it in the truck.
He's driving down by like Eminem.
Here's the thing is, you know, a lot of Hollywood, a lot of TV shows, movies, books, they do a lot of discredit to the field of psychotherapy as far as psychopaths and sociopaths. And they labeled him as a psychopath in this, but it was interesting because they labeled that he also had sociopathic tendencies, and you could see that in his character, because with sociopaths, they can't really feel emotions. Now, he wasn't a sociopath, he was a psychopath, but like you could see when he would start to talk to people that it was so obvious it was a script to him. Right. And not in the actor sense, I mean in the character's sense. Like, oh, that must be troubling for you.
Right.
How terrible.
Right.
I can't imagine going through that.
Right. When remember his first North Star, the lady, mm-hmm. she taught him saying, I had a bad day.
Yeah.
Say something. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I'm very sorry. And you added very.
Right.
What was the craziest part to me was when she was dying and she's talking to him and he finds out that she's dying. And he's like, yo, I want to kill you. And she's like,
because for dying.
Why do you want to kill me? That, you know, and just that whole emotional
like
arc
no matter
for
what,
him,
though,
like,
I understand that she's a psychotherapist and all of that. She was a little too accepting. It reminded me of Dexter, like when the people around him was kind of like too cool with it. She should have known, like, this person
has the potential.
Does not belong
on
the street. Like, he does not.
He needs to
and
be
doesn't belong in the FBI. How the fuck did he get in the FBI?
He's not an FBI
agent. I'm assuming she was dead by then.
But still.
No, right, but still.
The background check.
Listen.
The background. Listen, even if his entire psychotherapy was never listed, how about just the fact of, oh, look at that. He's responsible for killing his baseball coach when he was 7.
It was an accident.
See, the ricochet, no one, you could never do that on purpose in people's mind. So that would just be like,
accident.
I don't know how this happened.
That was crazy.
And it must be like his fucking coach had a soft ass skull.
Freak accident.
Because it's just baseball.
He's like, he bust his head open like a bullet.
Yeah, in the comic scene and the
yo, but when they blew that chick's brains out, when they blew her brains out, dog,
he's in the
I
NSA.
Felt so
he's in
sad.
The NSA in the comics.
I felt sad about her brains getting blown out. That was crazy, bro. They did his girl dirty.
Yo, man.
That was just so, they did it so effortless.
It was cold.
It was cold, man.
And then she got froze. She was really cold.
He driving around with her.
He driving around with
like,
a frozen.
Like, M&S talk about doing with Kim.
It's a boy from my hood named Murph. Like,
oh, not Murph. Come on, man.
He had a dead dog in his car, man, riding around with the ball. He had the dog in the, you know, holding a ball, and it was just a dead, like, rotten dog, and he was riding around the hood with it. That's how he was riding around. With this ice girl, man.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick pause. Because Dev the Bautista tour is reaching home with Murph's story.
Yo, good job, man.
Ed, what's going on,
All
man?
Right, so two things. One, we got a guest call in. We're going to have him on the line in a few minutes. But first, I actually want to get to our show sponsor for the week, Green Chef. So just a quick information about Green Chef. They're a USDA certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about. They believe dinner should be planned around your life and not the other way around. So they'll help do the meal planning for you, selecting a wide variety of organic ingredients and ready-made sauces and spices to give you more flavor in your meals. The best part is that there's something for everyone, with meal plans including paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, omnivore, and even carnivore if you're a savage meat eater.
Son.
After the show, we're going to be cooking and tasting the curry spice pork patty, so check that out on our social media feeds. And if you want to take advantage of this service, check out this link. It's greenchef, greenchef.us/party. And with that link, you get $50 off your first order.
That's what's up.
And they even got their own music.
You know what I mean? Shout out to Green Chef. Yo, shout out to Eight and Sam Beer Company. Yo, keep this music playing for Eight and Sam, too.
Come on,
Taylor.
Nah,
keep that shit going. I want that music, too.
That's not Eight and Sam's beat,
Can I get
dog.
A beatbox from you, Dev? Can I get something?
Nah, we're going to make them an instrumental.
All right,
we're
going to
make an Eight and Sam theme song. Yo, stop.
What has happened?
And remember, guys,
greenchef.us/party.
.us. Stop making our healthy sponsor and our beer sponsor fight with each other, man.
Nah, I like to drink with my healthy food. Is that a problem?
I don't know. I don't know if that's
I guess
a part
barley
of
and hops are organic.
Yeah, apparently. The reason why we have a call in today is because later on this year, actually November 3rd to be exact, there's a local arcade. I'm a big fan of the arcade scene with like Street Fighter, the X-Men arcades. There's actually a local arcade opening up on November 3rd in Deffery, New Jersey. It's called Colonial Soldier Arcade. And on the line is a guest we've had on the line before. His name is Jerry Colonna. Jerry, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Jerry, what's going on, man?
How are you guys?
Doing pretty good. So tell us a little bit about like the formation of Colonial Soldier Arcade, because I know the arcade scene was really big for you at Coleco Expo last year. You had the arcade machines going there. Same with your convention, NJ GamerCon. So just give us a little bit of background as to how the next step for that was going into opening an arcade.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the arcade was always on the horizon for me from early on. So, you know, I always thought that GamerCon was going to be the vehicle to really gauge the interest with the community and to build a community. And I would know when the time was right based on, you know, how New Jersey GamerCon was going and what kind of feedback I was getting from people. So just this past July, there was an expansion with New Jersey GamerCon. There was a 24-hour arcade. We had a new venue. We have new ownership with New Jersey GamerCon, and there's just been a lot of expansion in every way. And the arcade seems to be that consistent a piece that is ever changing, and people are always excited about it. So I had a feeling, going into July that this was probably going to be the year that I pulled the trigger on the arcade. And, as it turns out, you know, it happened a little quicker than I thought it would after the July show. The right opportunity presented itself, and we're going to give this thing a shot here in Deptford. And I think that the enthusiasm is being gauged, like I thought it would, maybe even better. And, so that's really kind of, you know, I guess it was a plan, and it fell into place so far as planned. It's been nice. It's been really good. And people seem to really, they really are genuinely excited about seeing an arcade, especially a free play arcade. And then on top of that, the concept of a free play arcade in a mall, which is kind of really going like OG with this whole thing. I mean, people are, people's memories of playing arcade games in this area is most oftentimes associated with playing in a mall. So many of us grew up with either, arcades in any of the local malls.
Yeah. That sounds great. One of my favorite things about arcades in general is having experiences that I just can't get at home. Because especially in this day and age, it's really easy for me to boot up like Pac-Man on my cell phone or play Donkey Kong on my virtual console with the Nintendo Switch or something like that. As far as light gun games, racing games, what kind of, can you give us a little sneak peek of which games you have lined up for the initial launch that I should look forward to?
Yeah. So you're 100% right, though. The experience in the arcade, it shouldn't be something you can do that easily at home. There was a difference, and there should be a difference. There's the experience, the social aspect of it. Friendly competition, with your friends, or friendly competition with someone you just met. That's in person rather, not across the internet. That whole part of it is cool, and that aspect of it is important. And I want to be able to give that to a community of people who may have never experienced it in that fashion. The games itself, a sneak peek, if that's what you're referring to. I've talked about fighting games. I love Street Fighter 2. I'm a big Street Fighter. So Street Fighter 2 is one that's close to my heart. MK2 will be on hand. I have an MK4 on hand. I am planning and currently working on an MK3. Not sure what version of MK3, but I'm thinking we'll go Ultimate. That's on the horizon. That one's not finished yet. I still have my workshop where we do piece these things back together. We're still going to be putting a few surprises together over the next couple of weeks, but to say for sure, Street Fighter 2, MK2, MK4, and I just recently acquired a Killer Instinct original dedicated, and I'm really excited about that one. So you get a vibe right now just in hearing those four titles of what we're going to be doing. This is that early to mid 90s fight scene was so crucial. So it was such a big thing. Old timers like me really had, that was it, man. You know, you had the ability to go, fight in the arcade. It was really cool. I want to bring that back to guys like me, but then also I want to give that to younger kids who didn't experience it like that. So, racing games, I love Sega. I love Sega drivers. So whether it was Outrun or Afterburner, or Super Hang On, I got a Power Drift. The Power Drift and Outrun are two very cool Sega standout, upright drivers. I love that kind of stuff. Cruisin' USA, that's going to obviously Cruisin' USA will be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a lot. So it looks like one more thing that I wanted to mention before you get off the line. So you have the arcade coming up November 3rd. I know there was a big snag when you were trying to open it a little earlier, but you have a big grand opening. You have a lot of big plans. I know some of us in the Party Nerds are going to be there as well to kind of, cover what's going on over there. So last thing I want to mention is, what should people be expecting? Like, if you wanted to give a quick summary of what to expect at this grand opening party.
So I'm glad you called it a party, because that's what I want to do. I just want to just throw a little party. We're going to have some music. We're going to have Awesomest Prime DJ in this event, which is really, really great, because he does a great job. He's local to the area. He gets what I'm doing. He was a part of New Jersey GamerCon this year. So, we get each other. And I love what he's going to bring to the table, because we're going to have a hosted and sponsored cosplay event at New Jersey GamerCon. Is going to throw in some prizes. We're going to have all the games up and running. Everything is set to free play. You come in, you pay once, you come in and play all day, come and go if you need to. You're not on the clock. You're not watching your hours. You're not getting change. You're not putting quarters in. That stuff's all out the window. You pay $11.95, play all day. You can't beat it for a value.
That's a sick deal.
Right. I really truly feel like giving people the value is just as important as putting a decent product out there. This is going to be a great combination of both a value and a good product. These games are going to be in original hardware. There's not going to be any emulation. I'm not dealing with any LCD screens. If the cabinet called for a genuine hardware, a genuine PRT tube, that's what's going in there. All the games have genuine arcade hardware, buttons, sticks, everything is pro or commercial grade. We're really going to just make sure that we get those things right, and we'll worry about the aesthetics later. The details are what's important.
Right.
The aesthetic can come second for sure.
Exactly. So for anybody in the Deptford area, colonialsoldierarcade.com, that's the website you can go to if you want to get your tickets to that grand opening. Like I said, November 3rd is going to be the day that we open. Jerry, thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate
you promoting the new arcade coming up. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm appreciative of all your support. Thank you, guys. I wish wish we had more time, and if there's any way we can catch up in person, please say hello. Yeah. And you just listen, just real quick, I'm going to throw it out there. Very limited number. I'm going to be selling month passes, and it's very limited. I'm only going to be selling a few of these every month, but $30 gets you in the door all month long, flat fee. Anybody wants to get in on that, it's $30.
Very nice, so, man.
Keep that in mind. Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
Sir.
I appreciate everything.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You know what I mean? Y'all could take some chicks on some cheap dates, man.
For real. That's that work right there, man.
Grab one of them Jones and take all your shorties, all your chicks. And you
rotate them in through the week.
You got a bunch of chicks, buy the $30 joint and take them in there. You feel me?
Yo, it's not about how much money you spend. It's the quality of the time you spend with the one you care about.
Or the ones you care about, man.
The one you care about.
Some of these dudes is out here wilding like I used to be wilding back in the day.
I'm not about that, whatever that 80s life was, man. I'm not about that.
So people on Instagram were saying, what if Netflix or Marvel do like a 3-series show about Luke and Iron Fist, Heroes for Hire, but set in the 70s?
Are people on Instagram also talking about
that?
I have a really important question. Are people on Instagram also asking about your hair going Super Saiyan?
I'll say this.
Nobody wants to see
anything involving Iron Fist at this point. is
cut
irrelevant.
Your losses about, at that point. I don't even want to be a part of it.
We don't want to see them jump time.
Remake!
Rebooted to the 70s. Absolutely.
No.
There is no time travel in Marvel. Did you see his 70 look back in the season one of Luke Cage? Man, that tier is.
Yeah, but CW did a musical. So
no,
why?
No. We don't do that.
Jorge, who gave you a mic right now? What is this?
Bullshit. Jorge, are there any more dumbass questions on IG?
That's the only dumbass one we got.
All right, I'm glad that's the last dumb one we got on IG. Come on, people. What the fuck?
I don't know.
Bullshit right
there. So look, real quick. I had an opportunity on Sunday to go out to GamerCon in Atlantic City and peep out a little bit of the action that was going on around there. Shout out to Ari Fox. The creator of GamerCon. Got to see a ton of games that were happening around that time. So Saber VR out in Freehold, Slingshot Games over in Philadelphia. This is actually like four college students from Drexel University who literally started their own entertainment wing of doing their games. This was their thesis, and they got this going on. It was actually a real cool game. It was more so family oriented, team oriented, to where you could do a four player game at that time. And then the people from Super Hazard Quest, which was more so of a side scroller car game, which was real cool. And we got to speak to Ari for a bit. Just shout out to everybody that like gave us a lot of interviews. It was real cool, and we had a real good time. Thank you.
Man, I really wish I knew how to make fucking video games, man. I watched that documentary Gamer on Netflix, man. That shit was amazing. Did the wrong shit with my life. Should have did some shit.
So you don't want any of your artistic talent?
Stuck in this shit.
Yeah, it's like I picked the wrong shit. Like I be looking at certain shit like, damn, why I ain't do that shit, man?
Listen, man, we live in an age where you can just go online on YouTube or any
and
of those
find
like
out.
Lynda.com and you can learn about how to do some shit. Yeah.
Party Nerds, the video game coming soon.
Oh, imagine that shit. Imagine the game based on Party Nerds.
Yo, don't hype Jorge up like that.
What do you see the Party Nerds cartoon?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yo, man, the Party Nerds cartoon was dope the way he drew everybody, man. I don't know why I had to transform
his
cosplay.
I'm waiting for the shorts.
But now I'm going to go get
you
the cosplay.
You're an Autocon. I'm telling you, man, a Decepticon.
Yeah, man.
So, Nigatron, all that
Nigatron.
Shit.
Nigatron. Man, I'm here.
So as far as the Marvel's Netflix series, where do we see it going forth? Just to follow up as a conclusion.
Onto Hulu, Disney owns 60%.
It's going to be on Disney's streaming service going forward.
Look, man, you know, we all knew they were getting off Netflix at some point in time. Yep. This is a short-term deal on Netflix. It's going to end. They're taking all these shows off of Netflix. Why wouldn't you when you're doing your own streaming service?
This is what's going on right now in everything, dog. You got UFC Fight Pass. HBO doesn't have boxing anymore. Now
True.
This new company, DAZN, just signed Canelo Alvarez and Tevin Farmer. Shout out to the knockout victory this weekend. And it's becoming a thing where, like,
streaming.
People got away from cable.
Streaming.
Now you almost got the same cable bill because I got Netflix,
right?
Hulu, DAZN, ESPN Plus.
Prime.
WWE Network. All of the shit because everybody's like, if I got my own shit, my own content, then I'm going to sell my own content on my own block.
Yeah.
And that's what Marvel or, imagine Disney, where you could go and get everything.
Marvel,
everything,
Star Wars. Harry Potter, all that shit.
Listen, bro.
Universal, that's
right.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, you jumped to some other shit.
Is there a merger you're trying to tell us that? I don't know.
I'm in Florida right now.
Fucking bugging.
I jumped to Florida right now, my bad.
Bugging. But all that mermaid shit.
How many of the series still have seasons that are supposed to come up on Netflix?
Jessica.
You got Jessica Jones with another one coming out.
Punisher.
The Punisher.
And that's it.
That Punisher is going to be smacking.
Beat them up. To answer the person that asked what kind of game the Party Nerds game would be, it would definitely be a side scroller.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like X-Men, right?
It would be a side scroller.
That's a fact.
No. Absolutely.
It would definitely be a side scroller.
With this art style, we should just be a Smash Brothers clone.
And listen. One thing we wouldn't do is let Darnell be in charge of people's fighting moves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'll say, I'll let Bravo control people's fighting moves, and then we can have some say on our special powers, because Darnell will give himself some, dope shit, and he'll give us the bull. bullshit.
So he'd be the Broly of the whole entire game.
Yeah, he'll be like a cheat character.
But every time you look at your move guide list, the names change.
Yeah. Like, yo, this dude will give himself like some real dope
shit. Up, down, left, right, A, B, just to do a punch.
And you know Darnell's going to be extra tall in the game. Right? Yo, why am I the shortest nigga in these drawings, man?
You just stand on the end. You stand on the end of the group. That's
you're
all.
Shorter,
you're on the end,
you're
of, the,
you're than Amber.
End of the group. That's nah. all. It's a group pick. You on the end.
Nah, man.
That's yeah, all. I'm pretty sure Nikki's taller than you in the.
This is the crazy part. Babs is behind me and she's taller.
It'll be a 10-player co-op game.
Yo, that's crazy.
I'm done.
Yo, that's crazy.
She's getting the airtime. That's all. She's getting the airtime.
Man, fuck out of here, man.
But yo, to wrap it up.
Damn, you just trip over yourself?
Yo, you look like you had a mouse run underneath your feet.
My leg is shooting. About to get up out this motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
But Daredevil, I mean, like I said, I thought it was an incredible season.
Can't wait for season 4.
You know,
We didn't talk about a major reveal. A major reveal on Daredevil.
What are you talking about?
You talking about the poster in the background?
I'm talking about who banged who back in the day. Who was busting off?
What?
Who?
His mom Dukes, man.
Oh.
Come on, man. You wasn't shocked?
Not really.
Nah. You wildin', man. You knew his mom was a nun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that from
Born
Again.
The comics,
listen, watching the show.
Oh yeah. I was at the panel, bro.
If you've seen the Born Again comic, you know his mother, sister Maggie.
I was at the panel.
Is a nun.
But,
and that's his mom.
But it was dope the way they did it.
She fell in love with a boxer.
So it was dope the way they did it, how he heard it and shit like that. You know, but it was cool. You know what was cool about that whole scene with Sister Maggie? You know, she wasn't a nun yet. Then she met Matt's dad, Jack Murdock, and then they hooked up.
He gamed her.
Had a baby.
Although they made it look really weird. She looked like she was fucking 14, and he looked like he was 35.
And she was still wearing the habit.
That's a fact, though.
She still had the habit on, which made it even more creepy, too, man.
Nah, she really looked like she was a little kid, and he was on some molester time.
But then
it really did.
But then they showed, again, it was another situation where they showed that postpartum depression shit. You know what I mean? Like, she was really going through it, and she just couldn't take care of Matt and didn't feel right about it and felt like she sinned against God. And so she was just going through a whole bunch of stuff mentally that he had to just, yo, I got to call Father Mike, I think it was, and then bring him in and get the baby. And it was just, that shit was deep, man. Like, like we touched on about a lot of real life issues that people go through, they had in this show, which made it even more relatable, because we all know somebody that has had postpartum depression, right? Has seen a therapist for whatever reason, maybe not psychosis and all this other murdery shit, but except Devin Wade, because Devin Wade knows all that about that shit. But the rest of us.
Don't we all know somebody that drove with a dead loved one in the car?
Yeah,
I mean, who hasn't?
But that shit made the show even. Father Murphy, that's his name, right?
No, man. Yo, what's his name?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh shit! But I know. So the boy Murph was kind of wild.
But so that was deep too, man. Like,
See, my Daredevil comics is in perfect condition because if they weren't mutants, I wasn't opening them shits. Really, man. I existed in the X-Men world. Really, really. Yeah,
just to extend on the world, I mean, Daredevil is still the longest.
And also, he also was in that same world. He was in the same world as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
But this is the thing.
We understand
Daredevil is still the
longest. Come on.
Oh, but also,
Daredevil is still the longest running comic that Marvel has right now. Has never canceled since the 70s. It's not stopped. It's still going.
That's more facts for your ass.
Yo, man.
You know what I mean? So, and what about Vanessa? You know, Vanessa just like
she a dumbass bitch, a bird brain.
But she went through that. She went through that shit with him in the last time. I want to know what you do. Don't hide stuff from me.
She feel like
she the typical John in the hood.
She
that's
clearly
turned on by the wrong shit. She want to be a part of the bad action. Is the reason why y'all women keep coming up short.
When I'm with you, I'm not with you.
You want to Fisk in your life? You know what I mean?
But that's the thing, is she clearly also had some dark background as well. You're talking about how she got this painting that was originally a Nazi painting. Stolen art, and somehow she just bought it.
Yeah, but she ordering killings is a big jump,
like,
man.
That, for real,
from,
like
from credit card scamming or whatever she was doing to
yeah, but that's the thing
ordering
is, we haven't gotten into what
right,
she's done.
Right. But that's
so
the
that's the thing.
Thing
is she might actually be really dark
but
as well.
Bravo can't get mad when they give her own episode showing her sniffing coke out in the
But that's the thing. I don't care as long as they.
Yo, I hate the point.
As long as they do the development with her, I'd actually really welcome it. But I just felt I felt the difference between having not having one with Foggy, meanwhile putting his family.
This is supposed to be a serious thing, Jorge. Come on.
And have Jesus Christ. But not having anything with Foggy and having that much intro with her and having it as long as it was, that was boring.
And
but
I thought hers was forced. I felt like they had to force Karen's backstory on us because they kept on talking about her. We always got hints of her
past.
She's
a rebel. I'm surprised that
we knew she something happened in her past. We knew she said it before in an episode that she killed her brother. You know, and it was just like they had to force that on us to see what really went down.
And I did enjoy the entire story and the way it played out. Everything. I just felt it took way too long.
What's the matter? I thought the details was on point. I honestly don't feel like that about this episode. It didn't put it like this. It did feel like a different show. It felt like I was watching Ozark or something like that, which I also love. Well, Ozark is phenomenal.
I bet you ain't know motherfuckers was banging in Vermont like that, huh?
Listen, man, they out there doing all types of shit.
Yeah, but it was crazy that we see that Karen has gotten away with 2 murders and shit.
Yep.
This is true.
So how fucked up is she in the head right now?
Karen's a psychopath.
Yo, for real, like Karen could be on this path. She's murdered 2 people and got away with it.
In the Party Nerds, she's a hoe.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing. Like, it's showing again, like, it's all perspective.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, man, we out of fucking time from all perspectives. So the Party Nerds is about to be the fuck out. We want to thank our sponsors once again.
Aiden Sand Beer Company.
And Green Chef, greenchef.us/party if you want to get in on that meal plan. $50 off your first order.
And the Party Nerds are out.
We out of here, boy!